Welcome to Right Here in Mass. We're a weekly podcast that features individuals throughout the Bay State who are on our radar and should be on yours. From the Berkshires to Boston, Cape Cod and the Islands, tune in to learn about who you should know right here in Mass. Welcome to another episode of Right Here in Mass. Joining us today is James Elliman, the founder of Elliman Technologies, LLC, a full-service managed IT service provider and internet/voice provider. James got his fix starting computers for family and friends in high school. After graduating from Ohio Wesleyan, he moved back to Duxbury, Massachusetts, where he started his company. James, welcome to the show.
Hi, it's nice to be here. It's just great. I'm enjoying it.
I'm excited to have you. Do you want to start off by sharing with our listeners more about yourself and what you do?
Absolutely. So as Ashley said, my name is James, and well, I fix computers, or is in the most basic form. But if you want to take a deeper dive, we're an IT provider, and we take a step back and we fix things as a whole. Oh, we're not a single vendor that fixes just emails or just servers. We have a full array of different products. We're a licensed internet service provider, which most IT providers are not. We also have our own data center space, and we take a lot of steps to make our products and our services is much better for our clients. Mm-hmm. And having that reach really makes a lot less vendor communication.
Absolutely. And as you shared in your bio at the start of the show, you started fixing computers back in high school. And so I'd love to hear more about that backstory of how you learned to do that and how it kind of progressed to you then working with your family and friends to fix their computers.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've always been fascinated with computers. I've had them all the way back to when Windows 98 was a thing. And we had those dial-up modems that they're in museums now. And I remember hearing all those noises, and that brings back a lot of fond memories for me. And now I'm here, and I get to see all this cool technology. It's so fascinating. Mm-hmm. But I've had things all along the way. And a lot of times back in high school, well, back in elementary school and all these times, it was always secondhand things. Like I was getting laptops from my grandfather, or I got a monitor from a neighbor. And I was trying to play games of how do I make these things work. And it was always a puzzle to me. And that's what I really enjoy most about all of this. This is making things all work together. And so then it progressed a little bit to in high school, I started helping out the neighbors who had computer problems with, they got a new wireless router. Cool, let's go set up Wi-Fi for them. And I was just doing it for free, and I was just having fun with it for the longest time. And then after college, I decided I really didn't want to go work in the corporate IT world and sit at a desk. And so I wanted to go help people. And so that's where Element Technologies was born. And so I got all the tools together. And so we've been helping people fix their computers ever since.
Yeah, that's amazing. And so with that, knowing that you didn't want to follow the corporate route, were you ever in the corporate space, or have you always just done your own thing?
I was. I had a few brief interactions in the corporate world, kind of getting my feet wet and realizing each couple times that it wasn't for me. I worked in a network operations center for a very large telecommunications company in Massachusetts. It's for about 6 months, and I learned a lot there. They do a lot of backbone infrastructure running internet service all the way from Massachusetts out to Hawaii. Big internet circuits. So I learned a lot out of the infrastructure side from them. And then I also worked for a small IT company out here in Massachusetts as well. That did more of the residential work of just fixing hard drives and doing antivirus scans for personal computers. And both times it was just, it wasn't really for me.
Yeah.
I didn't really find it. I found more enjoyment in being able to interact with our customers. One thing I chose at Element Technologies is if you call in and within 5 minutes, someone will answer the phone.
Yeah.
We don't put people on hold. We don't let you sit in just a queue waiting for someone. No, we will get someone to answer the phone.
Yeah, which is so important, knowing that there's that high quality, dependable customer service that when someone needs something, they know that they have someone they can rely on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I love that. And so as you were starting Element Technologies, was it kind of like a clean break where you left your previous job and then instantly went into owning your business? Or did you ever dabble in both for a period of time until it got to the point where it made sense to go full time?
So I left the corporate IT world very quickly, and I actually got a part-time job bartending at night. And
Oh.
that's how I kind of supplemented my income for a very long time and while starting my business. And it was a great way to learn also the people skills that a lot of IT providers don't have. You think of technology people as people that want to sit behind a computer or at a keyboard, and that's how they get their work done. And part of me was I learned how to bartend and I learned to talk to people. And that was huge. And being able to communicate issues of, oh, hey, your email doesn't work. It's this, this, and this. And being able to break those ideas down on the same way we would break down the flavor profiles and say wine. And it was that those same communication skills, and they've really come in handy over the years.
I think you nailed it because my first job was working at a coffee shop. And I feel the same exact way where dealing with disgruntled customers who were in the wrong, it wasn't, I don't believe in the idea of the customer is always right because I think there are circumstances where people might not necessarily be right. But you do, it's so important as a business owner to deal with people who to properly deal with people who may be a little bit upset or may have heightened emotions and knowing how to kind of diffuse the situation. That's one thing I noticed as well with being able to kind of translate into entrepreneurship is exactly like you mentioned, those communication skills.
Yeah, absolutely. And communication is a huge thing in the IT world. I mean, we fix internet service and we fix email. All those are our two major focus points. So communication and comes in all forms for us.
Yes, absolutely. And so with that, have you since grown a team and been able to
We
support?
have.
Oh my gosh, I'd love to hear
So
about that.
we have a team of five now. We have five of them that work part-time. And so they're all going to school for they're all going to grad school, both for computer science, and to kind of take more of a professor or form. So they're awesome, and they're all really smart technical people, really smarter than me sometimes. Sometimes they have conversations, and I'm like, okay, cool, okay, let's go. And then we've grown to a team of five. So we answer the phones around the clock 365 days a year. Or 24/7, and you can call us on Christmas Eve, and someone will answer the phone. It's just the level of support that we're committed to.
Yeah, which I think is important, especially with bigger companies who definitely need that support all the time. It's definitely important to be able to have someone that they know they can rely on to get things back up and running again. But with that, since you kind of have that notion of always being on, quote unquote, when it comes to business and work, how do you set that work-life balance for yourself so that way you do make sure to have time where you're kind of decompressing, unwinding, relaxing, all of that important stuff?
So I go fishing, and I will go fishing in the places where there's no cell service for this exact reason. I have like if I have my phone on me, it's buzzing all the time. It drives everyone nuts because I mean, you're in social media. I'm sure you've seen your phone buzzes for every like every email. Oh, and then you add all the alerts and everything on top of that we get. It's a lot of overwhelming information. And to a point, I enjoy it. It becomes a very fast-paced work environment and for something that should be very boring. And so, oh, that's great. But to balance that, I really do. I try to find adventures and things that don't require me to have a cell phone. Like I can turn it off, leave it somewhere, and like go fishing 10 miles offshore where I don't get cell service. That's where I find my peace.
Oh, I
Or
love
going for
that.
a hike and leaving my phone in my truck. But that kind of thing really helps decompress us and build that work-life balance.
Absolutely. And with that, I mean, I know, for example, the medical and healthcare field will have some type of like rotating schedule for holidays where it's like some person might work Christmas Eve one year, but then have it off the next year. Is that similar in the IT world where not everyone is kind of responsible for being on for every holiday, or is it kind of like whoever picks up the phone gets it, if that makes sense?
So right now with our current business structure, I'm the one that takes most of the weekends and holiday calls. I like to let my staff enjoy the time with their families. And we don't get a whole lot of calls during the holidays and the weekends. And even at 2 a.m., it's usually one or two. Ooh, so it's not a lot. So I usually take them myself, but we do, ooh, if I need a day off, we do have people all covering.
Okay.
And it's just whoever's willing. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's good. I'm going to knock on wood for you, but it's good that you don't get a ton of those types of calls outside of work hours.
Oh, I know. Oh, this is Tuesday, and we call this Patch Tuesday, which is when Microsoft Outlook, or not Microsoft, Google, all the big companies release their updates. And so usually as the day rolls on, we get more and more phone calls all saying, hey, this is broken. And we're like, okay.
Yeah.
And we kind of see that throughout the week is Monday, when people are kind of getting in their office, nothing's broken, very few tickets. Tuesday, it starts to go up. By Wednesday morning, it's a full on just tickets coming in. And then by Friday afternoon, when everyone's going home, they slow down again.
Oh, good. At least it slows down.
You see that roller coaster every week. It's the exact same thing as the workflow happens.
Yeah, which that's funny. I feel the same way about my inbox. Like, I feel like right off the bat at the start of the week, things are a little bit crazy, a little bit busy. But then once we get to like end of day, Wednesday, Thursday, people are kind of winding down and more focused. Things have gotten done and stuff. So it's nice that with you as well, that once the weekend comes around, things are mostly settled.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so for our listeners, we're recording this actually on Halloween. So Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, Cyber Monday are all coming up in a few weeks. Do you ever notice with your clients that tickets or inquiries for support might be heightened during that time? Especially if you work with like a lot of e-commerce clients who definitely need that support because anyone and everyone is flooding the online space and the internet during that, during the most popular shopping holiday weekend of the year.
Not really. I think that's more because our customer base. So we have a lot of hotels, also financial planners, marketing agencies, CPAs, bookkeepers, lawyers, those kinds of professional services. So we don't see a lot of that kind of ticketing. And we see a lot more of October, November, or we do get a lot more cybersecurity tickets because October is Cybersecurity Awareness Month. Last day of my favorite month of the year, or where I get to blab about cybersecurity and talk everyone's ear off about ransomware and everything else. So we do get a lot more tickets in that regard of people at that kind of hyperactive state of noticing things. If their cursor moves wrong, some people just open a ticket. And I'm like, no, you just bumped your cursor. And we have a lot more of those conversations because they're inundated with all these cybersecurity things of, oh, if your computer's running a little slow, if you get a suspicious email, oh, report it. And so we get a lot more of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And around this time too, I mean, I've seen this a ton with my clients. I wonder if any of your clients have reached out to you about this, but I mean, something that's been an extremely popular scam has been Meta, quote unquote, reaching out to people through direct messages saying that their Instagram account or Facebook page are going to get shut down for violating community standards and click this link and reset your password. And then boom, the person's Instagram account gets hacked and shut down or the Facebook page gets deleted. So that's something I've seen a lot with my clients is just kind of like the heightened fear or the worry about what that means. And of course, it's not even real. It's a scam. But I'm curious to hear if any of your clients have brought that up to you, if they've noticed it.
Oh, absolutely. We see phishing emails every day. It's a daily occurrence for us. And we are able to, with our advanced tools, block a lot of those.
Oh, good.
So there's three things that we tell people to look for or when there's a phishing email. First is there's going to be misspellings. So a lot of these emails and phishing emails that you see, they're written by AI or other or computer solutions. So there's misspellings. Things computers can only work with so much information, and so there's misspellings is the first one. Second is look at the email address that it comes from. If it says James Elliman, but we use the abbreviation of first letter or and last name for our emails, well, that's a nice giveaway that this could be a phishing email. And the third is they always ask for something that has to be immediate, whether it's someone's in trouble, you have to act now to get them out. Oh, someone needs money. You have to go do something right now. That now factor instills the emotion and gets people to do something. Similar to what you're saying with Meta, they're saying their Facebook page is about to be taken down. That instills that emotion of right now. So they don't think, they act.
Yes. Yes. And that is so true. That's what I always try to tell people is just sit, think, reflect, and then act. Don't just kind of have that knee-jerk reaction, because it is the fear, like you said, of people worried about losing something that they've worked so hard to build. And so when someone gets some type of message, whether it's an email or a social media message that they think might be a phishing scam, how do they, but in addition to like the three things to look out for that you mentioned, like what should they do if they're actually not quite sure if it is a scam or not?
So you can always reach out to the other party via another form of communication. So we always recommend, and if you receive an email that you're a little concerned about from someone you know, give them a call. Because if you respond to that email, you're responding to the same person that sent you something that they're trying to get you to reply to. But if you give them a call or a text message, say I had a question for you about an email you sent that I got that I wasn't sure about. Oh, I can pick up the phone, give you a call. I can call your office line. I can call your cell phone. I can send you a text. Maybe I just send you a new Facebook message. All of those are great forms of communication and that don't involve the phishing or scammer.
Yeah,
that's
a great
way
idea.
To do things, and that's why banks preach that they aren't going to call you and ask you for your security information. They are going to send you a letter saying, please call us. And then usually those emails say, call the number on the back of your card. Or use the app to get informed communication with us. They don't want it to go over. They're never going to call you, and they're never going to ask you to send your information over an email.
Yes. Oh, I love that advice, especially now as things kind of start to ramp up. I mean, I've noticed, especially during the holiday season, a popular scam that's happened is it's ended up being a phishing email, but someone receives an email from their boss asking to buy gift cards, and it's not their boss. And now they're unfortunately out hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on those gift cards.
Yep, absolutely. It happens all the time. And a lot of this comes down to just user or education. And so we spend a fortune on making sure all of our clients and all of their employees get the information they need to understand what's going to happen to them. Because as cybersecurity has taken a step away from just being a phishing email.
Yeah. Well,
now there's all these social engineering ideas that come into hacking and getting someone's information. And you look at some of the previous hacks out in Vegas, or to insurance companies or banks. It's someone just calling in and playing that game of, hey, can I get access to this? And they had the technology there, but they didn't have the policies and procedures to understand what's happening.
Yes, absolutely. And so for our listeners who either are career professionals or they own their own business, what advice or tips would you give to them in regards to ensuring that that they have the top-notch cybersecurity?
Absolutely. The first item is you should have an IT provider, or whether it's myself or someone else you know, having that IT entity is going to be hands down on the best protection you can get, because they know the tools and the resources you need to protect your business. It's from just a Google search, you can come up and see that there's 300 different security products out there. But these two might do the same thing. This might do something different. This one applies to your credit card processing compliance. This one doesn't. And having that understanding is going to help your business tremendously. The second is building out policies and procedures for doing things. So whether it's a customer calls in and you hear from another coworker or things of that nature, or you should have things in place is to protect your business. Because no one wants, if I call in as a client and say something about my banking and to my bookkeeper, or they should have a process in place to verify that. They shouldn't just be taking the call and say, oh, hey, James, how are you doing? And maybe it's a little staticky on the line and they just go for it because they think they recognize who I am. And so building out those as a business as well. For the social engineering side are very important.
Yes, absolutely. And how about people who work remotely? Because that's one thing I think about too, whether it's a company sending their own computers and other equipment to their employees to work from at home, or whether it's entrepreneurs who decided to take their laptops to a coffee shop and use public Wi-Fi. I'd love to hear your tips and advice about staying secure and protecting yourself when working remotely or being on the go with your work.
Absolutely. So this is more of a focus on on you as an individual. And the first thing you should really consider is having a password manager. And now they make them, they have apps right on your phone. They're so easy to use. You install them and you put all your information right in there. And those phones are designed to be in a hostile environment. And you think about them, they're designed from Samsung and Google, and Apple, to be taken to a coffee shop, or an airport, or some other public space, where there can't and be bad actor or is attacking those devices. So they've put a lot of effort into securing those devices. So use that to your advantage. Now, for your workstation, such as your laptop, having up-to-date antivirus is the number or one item there. Every 10 to 15 days, we find new attacks that we didn't know about weeks earlier. So updating those databases by updating your antivirus is hugely important. And then the last item I would definitely say is having a VPN. If you're going to coffee shops, if you're going to airport, or it's use a VPN, use the Wi-Fi hotspot on your phone, use the tools to your advantage. Don't think that you are not going to be attacked, because all these systems are automated today. So it doesn't matter if you are one person with one laptop, you're a financial planner that has a laptop and a cell phone, and that's how you run your business, or you're JP Morgan. You are on the same threat surface for them, because they just input your information into a bot and it starts going to work.
What if someone has their device that's been hacked, but they might not be sure if it's been hacked? How would they know? Like, in addition to getting like the phishing emails and messages that we've chatted about, like, what are some signs that people should look out for to see if they might have been compromised?
The first one is usually you'll start seeing slowness in your computer, and you'll start seeing errors. Now, you have to be a little more cognizant of this, because some errors are just natural. Like Microsoft Office is going to crash. That's just it's a big, large program. It happens. But if you start noticing that day in and day out, it's crashing all the time, and that your computer's always slow, that can be everything from crypto miners to botnet. That's been a plethora of different in services that these compromised devices can host. You look at projects such as the Electronic Frontier, they put a lot of effort into protecting devices. When there's millions of them compromised, as they can all point that towards one device and attack it. And that sheer amount of volume can actually bring down on entire organizations.
Oh, geez.
So that's a big one. Also, if you just start seeing weird things like in the bottom right corner or windows, you'll see all the applications that you have running, and from Zoom to Teams to Outlook. If you start seeing things that you don't recognize, that's another big one. And you'll start seeing, maybe you see files show up, or you notice that, all the files in this folder start to be deleted. That can be from I'm a bad actor or uploading those files back to their system.
Oh, wow. Interesting stuff. And I think that's really helpful too for people to keep in mind as they continue to work from home and just be, like you said, really cognizant and mindful and aware of what's happening. But with that, when people might get hacked or if they might be compromised, I feel like most people kind of assume that it can only happen if they click a link or if they use a public Wi-Fi. Are there any other ways that hackers can infiltrate someone's system beyond those two methods that people should be really aware and mindful of?
Oh, absolutely. So, the number one way that we see, if they do follow most of the good cybersecurity awareness tips and tricks, is they have other links down the road that don't work. So, the number of businesses that use those Comcast or Verizon and cable provided modems, they don't do anything. All they do is provide an internet connection. So if you have 10, 12 devices, is your laptop up, your whole office plugged into that, but they're not protecting anything. All so the oh, compromised actors can actually just go swim right upstream, and they're right to your devices. So adding those other layers of protection, and to if you think about your office kind of like a house, if you're using those cable modems, it's kind of like having a glass house. You start adding in business level firewall walls, or even at home, Unify and Ruckus and a couple other brands make some really great inexpensive firewalls that you can put in your home that extend in your wireless range, but also add a lot of security protection.
Yeah, that's helpful to know. And especially to just be, like you said, just aware of so many different things that can happen and how people know what to do to just kind of reverse that and ensure that they stay safe.
Yeah,
And
it's oh, sorry.
no, go ahead.
Oh, it's a lot of just protecting yourself. The same way you think about, oh, protecting your human being as you walk down on the streets of, oh, I'm not going to go down this dark alley, or I don't want to be with this crowd. Oh, the same kinds of things we have to think about for our devices. So
Yes.
your device is really just an extension of you, but on the internet.
Yes.
And
Great
so how do you
analogy.
protect that? Are you in a building that's with nice fortified walls, or are you out in the open just sleeping in a field? Well, protect yourself accordingly.
Yes, I love that. I also learned something recently too about two-factor authentication because everyone, of course, it's so important to make sure that you have that for every account that you use. But I learned recently, which I did not even think about or realize, that if you have two-factor authentication set up, it's best to have it sent to like an authentication app and not through text message or your email because you're phone number or your email address could be hacked. And so these hackers could be getting the codes that you're sending to yourself thinking that it's secure and it's not. And I had never heard that before. And I was like, wow, that's such a great piece of advice to keep in mind.
Oh, absolutely. That happens more and more, especially in the world of voice over IP, which really took off after COVID, which is a system where you can make a phone number go anywhere. It doesn't matter. I can have a Plymouth area phone number and live in California or
Yeah.
out in China. It doesn't matter. As long as I have an internet connection, I can have that phone number. So there's a lot that can go to play there. But along those same lines, and I'm going to have a huge shout out to a blog, Darknet Diaries, that explains a lot of how these systems work in very easy level, all for users to read and listen to. Ooh, they have podcasts about how getting into the phone system and explaining, oh, this person went and got a SIM card and put it in a phone, and they started receiving the same AIM text messages.
Yeah, that's really helpful to know. And I'll have to check out that blog too, because I'm always looking for resources about like how I can make sure I'm following the best practices for keeping myself secure, as our listeners are probably doing the same as well. And so with the rise of AI, I'm sure you've received a lot of questions about this from your clients and any of your other colleagues and connections, but that's one thing that I'm constantly hearing about is how AI negatively impacting cybersecurity. Like, how could it possibly bring a threat to individuals or a threat to companies? So, could you share more about that?
Absolutely. So the biggest thing that I see in AI is its ability to manipulate a text. So we talked about early on with phishing emails was that they're starting to be able to personalize things. And if you go to ChatGPT, you can throw in a paragraph and say, reword this. You keep doing that over and over and over again. That makes it a lot harder for me to be able to pick out those paragraphs for a phishing email because the text is constantly changing. And so that's a huge one. But also AI as a whole is all about machine learning. And if you hit the same device 1,000 times and don't see, you might get locked out, but you can use that same machine learning concept to attack 1,000 of the same device and be able to kind of use deciphering information and without having to put the manual labor in. And that's saving these threat actors a lot of time and money need to do that. And then they have the access that they need to perform bigger projects.
Yes, and I mean, you nailed it with the whole text thing too, because I feel like the emails that I've received have become a lot more sophisticated. Like I used to get emails that started off with like greetings, sir slash madam, and instantly I know that that was like a phishing email or a scam. But now, like sometimes I even have to sit and think like, wow, that almost like stumped me. Not that I would act upon it, but I'm like, wow, they're getting cleverer and cleverer as time goes on.
Yeah, and if you're really into marketing, I've read a lot of marketing books recently, kind of as an introductory into CRMs and things, but how some of these CRMs use the same AI technology. And I'm like, well, you could just adapt this with a couple little changes, then you have a really great way to get into some people's inboxes.
Oh, yeah.
which is really scary to think about, but also really powerful.
Yes, absolutely. And now shifting gears to talk a little bit more about your company itself.
Yeah,
Where do
absolutely.
you see your company growing and going? I know you've been around for a few years. I'd love to hear where you kind of envision Element Technologies going.
Absolutely. So, in the next 5 years, I would love to open a second office and somewhere out in the Midwest. That's kind of expand our reach each in that direction, and but also move more towards helping professional services. Is there's a lot out of IT providers that focus on the restaurants or medical care. There are a lot of these high big ticket businesses. And there's not a whole lot of IT providers that are focusing on these little whole 5 and 10 person businesses that do these professional services, is such as lawyers. And so I really want to put a lot of our focus in helping those styles of businesses that have in the past been kind of left to fend on their own, because everyone deserves to have cybersecurity, and everyone deserves to be able to run their business and not be scared that tomorrow their business can be gone.
Yes, you nailed it. Because I feel like with a lot of the smaller companies, some IT companies might say, oh, well, your account isn't big enough for us to manage this. And so I think you totally nailed it by saying that everyone deserves to have cybersecurity, and it's crucial to have some type of service provider who can cater to those smaller companies and work with them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have everyone from, we probably have a dozen little one-person financial planners, and they're small and they're mighty, and they work as hard as they can for their clients. And I love talking to them when they have questions, but they're great. And so they deserve the same level of care or as someone that works at a large company as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it's so interesting that you'd like to open a second location in the Midwest. What made you want to choose out there?
So I went to high school out there, and so I have a lot of friends, and a lot of them have called me up and said, "Hey, can you help me with my business that's out there?" So I'd love to kind of have a second location and help my friends out there as well.
Yeah, that's fun. And then you get to kind of have totally different regions of the country too that you support, both like the New England East Coast area and the Midwest. I think that's great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. James, as we get towards the end of this episode, one of my favorite questions to ask our guests is what their favorite local businesses are to support. And now I'd love if you could share some of your favorite places to shop at, support, dine at, whatever it may be.
Absolutely. So I'm the Plymouth area right now. So I love just walking down downtown Plymouth and going to all the little shops. I mean, there's candy shops, there's restaurants, and you can just spend a whole day just exploring different foods, drinks, candies. And also there's like ghost tours and whale watching and just experiencing a lot of the tourism. I really do, because a lot of those are small businesses, and those people have a passion for their area. And so all of them are the people that I enjoy to spend time with, because they're passionate about the area as a whole. And so I'm passionate about being able to spend my time and my money with them.
Yes, I fully endorse that. I love Plymouth, especially during the summer when there's so much happening and the weather is beautiful and it's nice to be outside. It's such a great area.
Yeah, I'm and now that it's October and the leaves are starting to change, I'm like, ooh. We have to go inside pretty soon, and there's a lot less exploring that can happen.
Yes, exactly. James, this has been such a great episode, and I've really enjoyed having the opportunity, having you come on to share all about everything that's important with cybersecurity and how people can protect themselves and their businesses. And now I'd love if you could share with our listeners where they can find you online in case you'd like to learn more and connect with you further.
Absolutely. So the easiest way to find us is online at elementtech.com. We have our website up there, or there you can send us an email, or you can give us a phone call, all right online at 508-503-7763. Yeah, very easy to remember. And between that, and I'm on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, just about every social media platform out there. And we're happy to connect. And even if you just have a quick question, feel free to shoot us an email. We'll get back to you, because everyone deserves cybersecurity, and we're
Yes,
out there to help.
absolutely. Yes. Thank you so much, James. I'll link to those places in the show notes that way our listeners can click through and connect with you from there. But thank you so much again for spending your time here today.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Right Here in Mass. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed recording it. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, follow us on social media, and share our podcast with your network. See you next week.